What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Divisional round of the playoffs start this coming weekend. Ravens obviously taking on the Bills. And let's talk to a man who was on the call when the Texans beat the Chargers this past weekend. He joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Just frankly, love talking football with him. It's Charles Davis. And Charles, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So I guess before we get to the Ravens, let's look at that Texans-Chiefs game because you just saw the Texans. Like, how surprised were you? For me, that first quarter, I thought the Chargers were going to blow them out, but then they couldn't score. And then the game sort of flipped. What do you think of this Texans team heading to KC?
Yeah, I think you nailed it perfectly. I mean, look, that game should have been a minimum of 10 zip Chargers. 14 zip wasn't out of line in terms of the thinking. Instead, it was 6 zip, and the Houston defense went to the sidelines, and their confidence level just jumped. Not that they didn't think they were pretty good anyway, but now it's kind of like, guys, we've been in the most adverse situations, and they could just kick 2 field goals against us. The offense, when you're ready to get going, we're here. We got you. And that's kind of how that game went. I really thought the full turning point of the game, you remember the 3rd and 19 when the ball got snapped over the head of Stroud and he picked it up and we all thought he'd throw it in the stands and live to fight another day and punt it away. And he hit Xavier Hutchinson. That was massive. We know that, right? And then from that point on, really Houston's offense really clicked. I thought the turning point was fumble. What was the giveaway by Houston?
Stroud pick, right? And then the Herbert across his body pick on the next play.
The very next play. That felt like a very impatient move by the Chargers. Yeah. They were so tired of being close, not getting anything done. Here they were again, and they pressed it. And it wasn't there. Herbert threw it anyway. Lassiter with the pick. Here's one of my favorite parts about Kamari Lassiter. 5 picks, that became his 5th pick on the season as a rookie, having a heck of a year, right? You know how many picks he had at Georgia?
None, right?
He had one. Tyreek got his freshman year against Vanderbilt. So I'm not even sure that counts as a pick, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, moving on from that, you know, they played him off their feet from that point on. In fact, Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, you guys remember last year,
he had
all these head coaching mentions, and he's a genius, and then this year, everybody was just ripping. When I was getting ready for the game, because the last time we saw Houston was week 5 against Buffalo. So I'm getting ready and doing my reading and everything. I'm like, my God, people are really, really coming after Bobby. Yeah. Like, oh, my goodness, what has changed here? I thought he called a masterful game on Saturday. I really do. Because he realized early they could not run the football.
Yeah.
And he had told CJ during the week, I'll guarantee you, I didn't have to be in a meeting. Just so you know, I may put it all on you on Saturday. If we can't run it, it's on you. You become the point guard, distribute it, make the decisions, and they trusted him, and they did. And then later, when they were able to run it, he reversed course and started adding the run back in, and Joe Mixon beat him up down the stretch. I really thought he did a wonderful job for a guy who took a real beating this year as an offensive play caller. And we saw a Houston team, guys, that last year was a joyride with a young team. And they weren't really prepared for what was coming at them this year. CJ Stroud told us that point blank in our meeting. We really didn't understand what it was going to mean this year. Last year, we played every week at 1 o'clock. We were playing this, and it was fun. And then this year, we're playing primetime. We're playing Thursday. It's Monday. I said, yeah, you found out. Remember, they were 1-5 against teams 500 or better going into that game. So that was a really big, big win for them to get off the deck, considering 10-7 sounded bad this year to them. It was a very hard 10-7.
Well, there's definitely things from that game we want to spin forward, but let's go back to that Herbert pick. Because, look, if Disley catches a ball he has to catch early in the game, right, it might be a different game.
The first drive,
the receivers let him down a bunch, but that's one where, you know, Herbert, and then he goes on and throws a pick six, and then he's not done throwing interceptions after that, and they're not all on him. Some hit guys in the hands. But, like, where are we on Justin Herbert now, and this is not his first postseason meltdown.
Yeah, and you know his crazy part? It's his second postseason game, but it feels like more.
Yeah.
Because the way the Jacksonville game played out and just lingers, you know, you can't really get rid of it until, what's the old expression? We all had coaches, right? And they would all say things like, I remember I played for Johnny Major in Tennessee, and one of his favorite expressions, which we all got a kick out of as kids, it doesn't catch up with you until it catches up with you. And we all used to go, okay, there goes Coach. I think it was probably 3 years ago I was yelling at my son, you know, it doesn't catch up with you until it catches up with you. You know? And you understand what he means by that. You can let stuff go if you want to. You cannot take care of the small things, right? You not deal with the details. Then all of a sudden you look up and you're finally going to pay for it. I think for the Chargers with Herbert, because that lingered, we did not see this coming Saturday night. And if anyone did, I would have loved to have heard from them ahead of the game. Yeah. Their last three games, they averaged 34 points a game. He threw for over 300 yards a game. He threw no picks during that time frame. He threw three picks the entire season. In fact, that first pick of the game he threw, we went back and showed the tape. His last pick on the road was week two in Carolina. So anyone who's going to tell me, oh, yeah, well, I could see this coming with Herbert. No, you didn't. Not this one. And as you pointed out so accurately, they weren't all on him. The one that Lassiter got was on him. Don't throw that football. You've got to see that coverage. Yeah. Like, he's underneath, he's over the top, and he throws a bad ball. The ball off of Disley's hands, that was the second one he should have caught, that he's in good position. That became a pick, you know, a pick for Stingley. But he just lost it as the game went on. He looked, you know, they got flustered.
Yep.
They couldn't get any rhythm. They couldn't run it like they were used to running it. And I will just tell you, from having spent time with them, spent time with the Texans going in, the feel I took from them was the Chargers fully expected to dominate that game. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say overconfident, because I don't think they were, but I do think they were uber confident. And when they only got the field goals early, right? I think that, like, whoa, what's going on here? How do we not just finish them off? And that allowed Houston to get their legs under them. And then once they did, you saw the end result.
Well, Charles, let's spin it forward to the divisional round. Ravens, Bills, we saw these two teams meet up back in week four. It wasn't much of a game. Ravens blew out the Bills. Yeah. A lot has changed both sides. But that being said, do you see this as a good matchup for this Ravens team, particularly their offense getting heavy against that light Bills defensive front?
Yeah, you guys know the game so well. You know this Baltimore team so well. But let's just posit it, and let's say it's not Baltimore, Buffalo. Let's just say this is a very strong running team and a defense that loves to play 4-2-5.
Yeah.
You kind of like your odds going in, don't you?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, you want to sit in that 4-2-5? Look, I love Taron Johnson. I think he's an all-pro nickelback in most seasons. I know he missed some time this year, otherwise he would have been consideration again. But what do we always say about heavy running teams? Hey, if we block up the front and make the DBs tackle all day long, we like what we've got. That's Saturday, not Sunday night, guys.
Yeah.
Look, it's going to be single digit by the time they kick off in Western New York. 4-2-5. They sit in their base. You know they are. Look, they're going to load up against it. They're not stupid. Now, you'll have Milano in this one, so that's a better player at linebacker for them. But all that being said, Todd Monken, I have a feeling, I'd love to see the play sheet, but it's got to be out of the first 12 to 14 runs.
Right.
And let's see what we got. And I don't care how tough you are as a DB. I don't care if you play in Buffalo and you're used to cold weather. 250 pounds of fury behind 1,000 and plus pounds of whatever coming at you.
Right.
10 straight times. It's going to test your will about whether you want to play or not.
Charles Davis, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys. Be good.
Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens and that secondary. And after that third quarter that was a bit ugly, how concerned are we about the Ravens secondary this Sunday? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We have spent a lot of times giving the Ravens defense their flowers since the game against Cincinnati. By the way, speaking of flowers, Zay Flowers, the only Raven that didn't practice today. But the Ravens secondary, Brandon Stevens particularly, but the whole secondary in the third quarter of that Steelers game struggled for a bit. So with that in mind, seeing that, and now the quality of the offense goes up, how concerned are you about this secondary as they head into Buffalo, Jason?
I mean, I'm legitimately concerned. I had a chance to talk to our buddy Bobby DePaul for a while today. He says hello to everybody.
Bobby
and that
D.
Iguana season down in Key West is in full swing. Says they're bigger than ever. And Bobby's an evaluator, so he would take note of such things. And he's a little concerned about the secondary. And you look at the quality of skill position players and quarterbacks that they face since they realigned and fixed their defense. And they haven't faced a lot of high-volume passing attacks, certainly not from very accomplished passing offenses. And I do think that there's still a little bit of maybe some scars or some residue with some of those players from just how poorly they performed as a passing defense the first 10 weeks. And I do think this will be a challenge the likes of which they have not seen probably since Cincinnati. The ability for Josh Allen to make things happen on a precision 5 or 7 step drop, as well as off script, is a different challenge. His deep ball accuracy is among the best in football, and he has as big of an arm as anybody does in football. So even if you're telling me it's 9 degrees and it's windy, I'm not sure it's going to affect him the way it would affect other guys. I'm not sure it's going to immediately change Joe Brady, their offensive coordinator's modus operandi, the way it would other guys. And I also think that the more they size this game up, and even though they're a really good running team, I think they're going to have to throw the ball. I think they're going to know that they need explosive plays because Baltimore is going to possess the ball quite a bit. And if you run 3 times and it's 3 and out, you're in a lot of trouble. I think he's got to challenge Brandon Stevens. He's got to look. Wiggins has had a really nice year, but it's not like people haven't challenged Wiggins. It's not like he's going to shy away from throwing at Wiggins. If there's 2 tight ends on the field, okay, Marlon's got one. Who's got the other one? So I think this presents a different level of challenge. I think it's one of the biggest factors in the game. And I think that Josh Allen's going to look at some of the throws that Russ made. And yes, he can throw the moon ball, but he can also throw an absolute fastball unlike few people. And that's another way to beat some of these zone coverages. So some of these crossers, I thought Shakir was going to be a huge factor in the first game. He wasn't. He might be in this one. Yeah, I'm concerned.
I'm not going to say the third quarter was a nothing burger, but I'm not going to say that I'm freaking out about this either. Do I have concerns about Brandon Stevens? Sure. Do I have concerns that you're going up against an MVP caliber player, a guy that's having a career year? Of course you're concerned about that. And Shakir is a nice player, and they have their tight ends, and they have activated their running backs in the passing game. To expect them to hold Josh Allen to 180 yards passing and 0 touchdowns again this go-around, I don't think is realistic. But am I expecting Josh Allen to do what Joe Burrow did on them twice? Probably not. And we put out a poll earlier in the show, IA1057, the fans, how you can vote on it. Close to 250 votes in. Steelers put up almost 200 yards on the Ravens in the third quarter, killed them on third and long, and completed 6 plays over 20 yards or more in the game. Brought back nasty flashbacks of the first 10 weeks. So, Ravens flock, are you worried at all? Nothing to see here. 50.5%. Pretty concerned. 35%. I'm freaking out, man. 14.5%.
I'm sort of, it's kind of like parsing it, but if you put my concern about Brandon Stevens, it's at the top. I feel good about Marlon and Wiggins. That was the first touchdown Wiggins has given up all year in the playoff game. But Jason, you're right. This is the level of competition is ramping up, and he's in his first season. But I feel good. There were some communication issues with the safeties in the Steelers game, and hopefully they get cleaned. That gets cleaned up because we haven't seen that since Cincinnati. The communication part.
Absolutely. This is a different assignment than what this group has really been asked to deal with since they made their changes, you know, week 11. So, I said I think that you can win a Super Bowl with this defense, and that's true. But they're also at a point now where the degree of difficulty goes up exponentially. And you're looking at possibly having to go through Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and then, I don't know, maybe Goff. I mean, we'll see about what comes out of the NFC. But that game's going to be in a dome, and the Detroit offense in a dome is going to be a problem. I don't care where that game's played, if that's who it is. So this is a gauntlet that they'd have to run defensively. And yes, I believe in them, but I also believe they better play a hell of a lot better than they did in that third quarter, or they will lose this game.
Coming up next, we'll continue to preview the NFL playoffs. our friend Phil Sims. Always great when we get him on the program. Who does he think is going to win that Ravens-Bills game? We're going to ask him next here on The Fan. We are efforting to get Phil Sims on the program. Phil, of course, a longtime colleague of Jason's.
I spoke to him at length today.
Yes.
So he definitely knows. He's aware of the assignment.
Okay. Back to back of Bobby D and Phil Sims. That
yeah.
is
Before
ton.
We get to that, yeah, you talked. You got. You had a lot of phone
I
time.
I learned a lot today.
With IA Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Both so of
back
the
to
big,
back.
Big afternoon for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Bobby
a lot
D
of
and
knowledge.
Phil. Do you feel smarter after
exponentially so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to get to both of them.
Yeah, to be wrapping up a call with one as the other calls you.
Yeah.
Put away some time in your schedule.
That's called timing.
Did Bobby D take any shots at Arthur Smith?
Wait, I'm trying.
Well,
that way Ben's
talk
trying to tell me something.
They need the number again, so don't tell it over the air.
I'm just going to walk in there and shots.
Yeah.
You doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. But Bone, he got about 3 hours of phone time.
Yeah, back to back.
Back
too.
With Bobby D and Phil Sims, who are both IA Hall of Famers.
Just thinking about all the years that Bobby D spent in the NFL.
By the way, I'm calling it now. We're getting two segments with Phil because it's taking a moment.
He might demand it. Yeah. I mean, he's demanded it in the past.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
He reached out to Jason and said, "Why aren't you using me?" And Jason doesn't want to overuse him.
Yeah.
You gotta save him for these big weeks, like when two of the best quarterbacks in football going up against each other.
That is one of the great things about Phil, is that when we ask Phil to come on, he usually complains to Jason that he doesn't ask him enough. And, and that's sort of baked into the cake of the whole
Phil's
process.
A giver.
Yes. Yes.
He's a giver.
Yes. He is.
And that's why he's a Hall of Famer. Even, you know, Chuck Bucks wasn't really feeling it, but oh well.
We know. We get the show.
We see who got the last laugh there.
And joining us now, as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, it is IA Hall of Famer, the man who demands two segments. It's Phil Sims who joins us now. And Phil, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. So let's just get right into it. Ravens and the Bills, how are you feeling about this matchup?
Well, if we want to get right into it, why the hell haven't you called me all year?
You're right.
What's funny? I keep texting Jason saying, "Where's Phil?"
I had to call Jason, begging to let me on. Today.
It's my fault.
That's all right.
Phil, I take full accountability.
Well, Phil, if they win, you got to come back on with us next week.
Or if they lose, let's just book it for next week. Now,
next week.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be a big story. I mean, you know, I'm watching TV now. Well, I see it on the screen. And the guy under the most pressure is Lamar. He must show that he can do it in the playoffs. Oh, I love that great analysis. I love it. Look, I'm excited about the game.
Yeah.
I just looked it up before I came on. I said, let me see the weather. So it looks like it's going to be no snow, maybe snow on Saturday, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather's going to be cold. I just hope it's not like super windy or something like that. I want to see it to be where it's good for both teams. And let them play, and let's see where it goes.
Well, they say styles make fights, Phil. Our buddy Bart Scott, who we worked with a while back, used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
And these guys fought at the end of September, and things have changed since then. But I think we've kind of seen in this playoffs that the big man is kind of already starting to win, and that the bully, in terms of who can run the ball and who can overpower the other team, has an advantage no matter where the game's played. And Baltimore ran all over them the last time. And that's before Baltimore started using six offensive linemen alignments, and before Baltimore started running formations with three tackles. Charlie Kohler is a 265-pound blocking tight end, the 300-pound fullback, and Derrick Henry fully versed in this rushing attack, not just under center, but now comfortable in the pistol. That seems like a lot for a Bills front that's light in the ass that wants to live in nickel and dime to hold up against.
Wow, that was good. You should get a talk radio show there.
Would you agree? Patient. Would you co-sign?
Oh, you know, listen. Every year, we go, oh my God, the passing attack, the receivers, and this, and all this other stuff. And it really, football hasn't changed to the degree where the bigger, stronger teams are tough to beat in playoff football. And we see that every year. And then to the other thing that's, of course, big and strong and saying all this, it comes down to, can you rush the passer? But, you know, size and stop the run. But the other thing is offensive lines. And Jason, you and I talked a little bit before or early today. You know, I look at the Eagles. I look at the Ravens. You know, you look at some of these teams, the Detroit Lions. Man, they got men up front, and they've proven over a long period of time they can get it done. And that game, you know, back in September, I think that is good for the Buffalo Bills in this respect. They got to be, they have to be scared of what's coming into Buffalo. I mean, when you get dominated like that physically, it's not like, oh, we weren't into the game or this or that. No, it's real. And so it's, that has to put a little fear in them, and that's good for the game because I think they need that fear to really compete big time with the Ravens.
Phil, it's been a hot-button topic locally, nationally for a while, and I wanted your thoughts on it. For you, who is most deserving of the MVP, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
You know, I've never wavered on this. I don't know when it started for me, but I just kept was looking and going, oh, my God. I mean, Lamar Jackson, it's every damn week. It's, you know, it really is. It's phenomenal. And I know he's won two MVPs. I think he's going to win a third. If I had a vote, which I don't, I would have definitely voted for him. And, you know, it's we're seeing a player. I don't even want to hear anybody go, oh, this guy reminds me of Lamar Jackson. No, no, we're not going to see that. For we might not ever see it again. Or it's going to be a long time before we do. The running, the feel for the game, the great experience he got in college and he's gotten in the pros. And I said to Jason earlier today, and he was all over it, I just go, his mechanics throwing the football, they're not good. They're great. That's why he's such a good passer and a good thrower. I mean, when he needs to put some steam on it, he can do it. And I find him to be very accurate. Throws a beautiful football. And he, you know, he did that in college, too. We just didn't notice it or pay enough attention to how good he really was in college. He should have won two Heisman trophies, but that's another story.
We're talking to Phil Simms, Inside Access, here on the Fan. So after he played, and we felt he played well against the Steelers, obviously Derrick Henry was the lead story, but Lamar played well. Are we beyond the Lamar can't play in the playoff story? Is that narrative dead?
You know, come on. You know how TV is. they never let anything go. Oh, wow. Well, Lamar threw four touchdowns, and he ran for 100, and he threw for 450 yards. But, you know, they didn't win. He's just got to find a way to win these games. Oh, my gosh. I get so sick of listening to some of this stuff. You know, I'd like the Steelers, after they lose the game, what's the first thing they say? Well, Mike Tomlin, you know, the Steelers got to get a quarterback. You know, Jason, you heard me say this. I look at the Steelers. They got a lot of damn problems. I don't look at number one like, oh, we got to get a quarterback. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields actually did what they were supposed to do when they got in there and played. They played solid football. Hey, why don't we coach them a little different and realize we just can't play defense all the time and try to win the game 17-14. That's my big thing with the Steelers. I watched that game really close. You know, I got no life, so I watch it on, you know, coach's tape too because I'm bored. And I looked at it and just go, how do you expect to win consistently when you're running these plays and this offense? And it's you know, it's frustrating. I think I was frustrated because I wanted to see a really good game.
Yeah.
Come on, Pittsburgh. Open it up a little. Show them something maybe they haven't seen. They didn't do that. And, you know, they lost. But that's another segment somewhere down the line.
Speaking of another segment, Phil, can we hold you over for a second segment? Because we have so much more we want to ask you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
More with the great Phil Simms, IA Hall of Famer Phil Simms.
For good reason.
Yes, he joins us more on the NFL playoffs with him next here on The Fan. More with IA Hall of Famer Phil Simms, which I'm sure is his greatest honor. He joins us again courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Phil, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate it. And let's get to the other AFC game. Do you give the Texans any chance at Arrowhead against the Chiefs?
I thought they played them really tough and had opportunity to play during the season. That's one thing. The Texans, I think, finally kind of figured out, you know, they had a rough year overall. C.J. Stroud did. They couldn't protect. But, man, they can rush the passer, and they can cover. And I kind of saw some of that when they played that game during the season. So I do give them a chance. I give them, you know, the old puncher's chance. A lot of things have to go their way. It'll be interesting to see Kansas City so rested and what they come up with. You know, I think the last time I really watched the game when it really meant something for the Chiefs, I think I went on Twitter, which I don't do a lot, and man, do they ever run out of plays where Mahomes can get the football out of his hand fast? And they just have such a library of those plays, and that could really hurt the Texans to the degree that, well, you know, hard to get to the passer when he's getting rid of the football so quick.
Phil, I know you're not the biggest stats guy in the world, but I did want to run this particular stat by you and get your reaction, considering your previous career. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Okay. So Patrick Mahomes is 15-3 in 18 career playoff games, Phil. Right. He has thrown for 5,135 yards, 41 touchdowns, 9 picks, and 524 rushing yards. In the history of football, any quarterback's best 18-game stretch of the regular season, no one else has ever thrown for 5,000 yards with 40 or more touchdowns, less than 10 picks, and rushed for at least 500 yards in any 18-game stretch of their regular season career. And this is this young man's first 18 games of his playoff career. How crazy is that?
So what you're telling me, he's really good.
Yeah. But I mean, like crazy, crazy, crazy good.
Yeah, listen, it's the perfect storm when you talk about him, Travis Kelce, you know, Andy Reid, all that. They kind of changed football there for a couple years, and everybody started copying everything they were doing, and they just keep reinventing themselves. But, yes, Patrick Mahomes, it's phenomenal what he does. And, you know, I'm not saying this because I'm on the station with you guys, but if Lamar can get on some runs of these playoffs, he's going to put up those numbers also. And says a lot about the talent, but it also says a lot about the situations they're in. I mean, I give Lamar Jackson tons of credit, but there's a really good offensive line down in Baltimore, and you got a bunch of big dudes on defense that can play well. Oh, we got tight ends. Now we got receivers that, you know, are really starting to show out. All those things. That's what it takes for a quarterback with talent to really be a star. I don't care what we say. You got to have talent around you to make it happen.
Phil, Commanders, their magic season continues heading to Detroit. They're big-time underdogs in that one. But Jaden Daniels, just how impressed have you been with how unflappable he's been throughout this season? I thought that shot of him sitting on the bench with the game-winning field goal where he had no idea what was going on. I mean, he's just so cool, calm, collected.
Oh, man, he is laid back. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's really just awesome to see him play. Of course, I saw tons of his games at Arizona State and at LSU. Hey, that senior year, I think it was like week 2 or 3 when I was on CBS. I went in and Bill Kyer and I were talking. I said, Bill, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. They got these receivers. The offense is great. His running. And I think the thing that's caught me by surprise is his running has been almost every bit as productive, you know, not as crazy it was in college, but very productive to giving them chances to win games where they didn't play their best. And he is so laid back. You know, when he won the Heisman Trophy, he came into CBS and we were talking. And I said, hey, how about your dad? He wanted you to be a defensive back. And, you know, we had a good laugh about that. But, hey, very accurate throwing the football, beautiful motion. I mean, he's going to be a good quarterback for a long time. There's no doubt.
The final game of the weekend, Eagles and Rams, they played earlier this year in L.A., and Saquon Barkley ran all over the Rams. Do you expect more of the same in Philly this weekend?
Hey, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are right up there with you guys. And honestly, if I had to pick one of the others roster, it would be hard. Before the season came out, I did pick Philadelphia and Baltimore to go to the Super Bowl. It's maybe the first time I've ever got two teams right going to it. Usually I try to take something that nobody else is looking at. And, you know, that never works out. But, yeah, I think Philadelphia is going to – they're a big, powerful team. Everybody moaning and groaning. Oh, Jalen Hurts didn't play that well last week. Well, you know, he did okay. He did the right thing. He played very careful and safe with a team that they were better than and they were controlling the game, so why take a chance? That's how I look at quarterbacks a lot of times. But the Eagles, they're the real deal. They got it going on. Receivers, you know, of course, the running backs, ridiculous. And on both sides of the ball, they can compete and beat anybody, I think, in the NFL.
Phil, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for your
time.
Thank
you, brother.
We really do appreciate it.
We will not be strangers in 2025.
No, we'll talk to you next week.
I'm going to stalk you.
Okay, yeah. Hey, listen, real quick, you guys got to go to commercial because you're all making too much damn money.
Well, somebody here is. Phil, but it doesn't really. Trickle-down economics, I don't know if that really applies in the radio business. I've been doing it 5 years, and so far, not so much for me. But
all right, guys.
You the man. Thank you, brother.
The best, Phil Simms. Hey, when we come back.
Forgot to ask if he had anything to plug.
He's got his podcast. Yeah, Remember the last time we asked him to plug the podcast, he kind of like stepped on it a little bit. We had to get him to repeat it. Alas. Anyway, if you can get him to tell you the podcast, we'll plug it later. Coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast. John Harbaugh met with the media. The injury report is out. We'll get all that. And also a weird waiver claim we'll try to explain to you. There's a lot going on. That's next here on The Fan.